Thank you for listening to the Bible Expositors Podcast with your host, Stephen Baker, taking you verse by verse through the Word of God from the pulpit of Harmony Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia.
Our eternal home, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 13. And by way of introduction, we'll start in verse 13 and then we'll pray. The Word of God says, "We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be in your house this morning. I do pray now you would forgive me for my sins. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to preach your Word. I pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit and help us to learn from your Word. And convict us and give us what we need this morning. We pray if anyone here is lost that you would save their souls this morning. For we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Amen. So Paul, earlier in this chapter, in our Sunday school class this morning, we went over the first part of this chapter. And so earlier in the chapter, Paul is talking about the persecution that he has undergone and the fact that he and the other apostles are constantly threatened with death. But he says that though they had the death, and he says, talks about the death of Christ in himself, and he says, though we have this death, yet the life of Christ, the resurrection of Christ is being manifested through him. And that's true of every believer. We want the life of Christ to be manifested through us. And Paul talks about the fact that we have, that God has placed the treasure of His grace, of His gospel, in earthen vessels, jars of clay. And he says that God did that, and when he talks about that, he's talking about our human bodies. And he says that God did that so that the excellency of His power might be from God and not from us. And so as he comes down to verse 13, he says, "We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken, we also believe, and therefore speak." And Adam Clark says, "We having the same spirit of faith as David had when he wrote Psalm 116:10, which is what Paul is quoting here. And Psalm 116:10 says, I believe, therefore have I spoken. And we also believe that we shall receive the fulfillment of all God's promises, and being fully convinced of the truth of the Christian religion, we speak and testify that our deliverance is from God, and that He does not fail those who trust in Him, and that He saves to the uttermost them who come unto Him through Christ Jesus." And so, Paul speaking to the Corinthians and giving this great hope. And then he says in verse 14, "Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you." And so Paul has been talking about the fact that he constantly faced death, and Paul knows he's going to die. And so he gives this hope, which is a hope for him and a hope for all believers. "We know that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you." So Paul had confidence in the resurrection of the dead that we all should have confidence in if we're believers in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. All right, so verse 15. "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God." So Paul said, everything that's happening to us is for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many. You know, as Paul traveled around, as he was persecuted, as he went through what he went through, the gospel was spread. And the grace of God, the abundant grace of God was spread and people were saved. And because people were being saved and the grace of God was spreading, thanksgiving was going up to God. And so Paul rejoiced in that for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Verse 16, for which cause we faint not. Now, it's easy to faint in the Christian life. And going through the type of things that Paul went through, it would be easy to faint. We talked about that this morning. And Roger brought up in Sunday school that we don't face death every day when we spread the gospel. When we share the gospel, nobody's threatening to chop our heads off or kill us. But Paul's assurance here was that because God is being glorified, because thanksgiving is going up to God, he doesn't faint, he doesn't quit, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So the Word of God says, though the outward man, though Paul's body was being, Paul talked about everything he went through. He was in shipwrecks. He went without food. He was stoned one time. Not like people get today, but he actually had stones thrown at him. And though having all that, though our outward man perish, and we can say the same thing, our outward man is perishing. This body is perishing. We're getting older, in case you haven't noticed. Amen or oh me, one. I know I'm getting older. This sickness, I hope you don't get this thing. It's the worst thing I've had in years. And, it made me question why I bother arguing with my wife. I realized during the sickness when we were both sick, we didn't argue, and I realized how much energy it took to argue. But we're perishing, for which cause we faint not, for though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And so our inward man, our true selves, this body is just a shell. That's the outward man. But the inward man, our soul and spirit, we are renewed day by day as we read the Word of God, as we pray. For our light affliction, I love how Paul calls everything he went through a light affliction. We wouldn't consider it a light affliction, but he says our light affliction. Everything we go to compared to what's coming is a light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So the problems that we have now are just a moment. They're just for a moment compared to eternity. Just for a moment. They're a light affliction compared to eternity. They seem very big to us, and they are big to us, but compared to eternity, it's just for a moment. It's just for a moment. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. You're looking at things which you can't see. That's kind of a interesting phrase, but you're looking by faith to Jesus Christ. You're looking by faith to eternal things. So while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. And it's a lot easier to look at the things which are seen. It's a lot easier to look at what's in front of us. But we need to look at eternal things and look to Jesus Christ. The book of Hebrews says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And so we look at the things, not the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal or temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And so we look to Jesus Christ, who is eternal. And therefore we have hope. We have hope because we have Christ and we look to Him. Because your circumstances may not look good today, but we don't look at the things which are seen. We look at the things which are not seen, because the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So let's look to Jesus Christ. And so, going into chapter 5, talking about our eternal home, there are some things we know. Some things we know. Verse 1 of chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now the word tabernacle here means like a tent. It's a tent. Paul knew quite a bit about tents. In his job, he was a tent maker, and he was also an apostle, a preacher of the gospel, and so he knew quite a bit about tents. And so he says, if this tent were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. Now the word dissolved, Robertson says it means it is the very word used for striking down a tent. So the idea is, if the earthly house of this tent that we're in were to be taken down. And remember, Paul is facing death. And all of us are going to die too, unless the rapture takes place. I hate to break it to you, but we'll die. Right? And so, the truth is that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were to be taken down, were to be dissolved, if this tent were to be put down, then we have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. The house in this verse is our body. The tent is our body. The tent is the temporary body that we're in. The house is our eternal body. All right? And that brings up a question. When a person dies, what happens to their soul? Now, I'm not talking about, we all know that when a person dies, it's either heaven or hell. Right? Heaven or hell. If you're saved, it's heaven. If you reject Jesus Christ, then it's hell. We know that. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And as we'll see in just a few minutes, the Bible says the rich man died and was buried and in hell lifted up his eyes being in torment. So when you die, it's either heaven or hell. We understand that. But the question of when a person dies, what happens to their soul? Does the soul just float around in heaven? What happens? And so the Bible tells us. Most of the time, if you read a commentary on this chapter, they will not really answer exactly what it's talking about. We know that it's looking towards the resurrection body, and we know it's speaking of that. But Paul says, if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So what happens the moment we die? And I believe this passage answers that as well. And I'm going to show you a passage from Luke. This is the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And I'll read a couple of verses to you. Luke 16, verses 23 through 24. The Word of God says, "And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." Now it's interesting, the rich man died and Lazarus died. And some people say, well, this is just a parable. Well, it doesn't really matter if it's a parable or not. If it is a parable, it's unique in the parables because Jesus used names in this. But even if it is a parable, it doesn't matter. Jesus in parables used real illustrations. He talked about things that were like he would talk about people. He would use illustrations that were real. He didn't tell fanciful stories in parables. And so this is a real picture of hell. And so look what he says. In hell he lift up his eyes. That's interesting. The rich man has died. Where's his body? It's in the ground. It was buried. Right? The rich man died and was buried. And in hell, he lift up his eyes. Yet he's got eyes. That's strange, isn't it? Being in torment, he had to feel torment, so he had to have feeling. He sees Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Obviously, he recognizes Lazarus, who had laid at his gate full of sores. He recognizes Abraham, who he'd never seen, but that's not an uncommon thing. In fact, on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus was transfigured, the disciples that went up on that mount with him recognized Jesus in his transfigured state, and they also recognized Moses and Elijah, though they had never seen them. And it's not like they had photographs at that time. Somebody said, well, we know one another in heaven. We'll probably know everybody in heaven. We'll know a lot more than we know now. Amen. I hope we don't get any dumber when we go to heaven. That'd be a terrible thing. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water. That's odd. Lazarus has a finger. And cool my tongue. The rich man has a tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And we know that if the earthly house of our this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. The rich man died, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment. So apparently, in some way, we don't understand how, because we know that our body will be reassembled and raised from the dead one day. But that doesn't happen the moment we die. So we, in some way, when people go to heaven, and indeed when people go to hell, their souls and spirits are not just floating around, but they have some type of a body. Some type of a body. And that's a good thing. We don't know how this works. We'll read a little bit more. And you can decide. Some of this talking about the resurrection. Some of this talking about other things. But God gives us, He doesn't just leave us to float around in space. We have bodies after we die. Verses 51 through 53 of 1 Corinthians 15. I want to read these verses. This is speaking of the time when we'll rise from the dead. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. That means we won't all die, but we will all be changed. Not everyone is going to die, but everyone will be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So there's going to come a day, there's going to come a day when Jesus returns. And when the dead in Christ, the Bible says the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. So there's coming a day when the trumpet sounds, and when those of us who are alive and remain will be caught up with the dead in Christ that have already risen, and we will meet the Lord in the air, and we will all be changed into these perfect resurrection bodies at that moment. Not everyone is going to die. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. A mystery in the Bible is a sacred secret unknown to people in the past, but revealed to us by God. And so God has revealed this to us. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. This is an instantaneous thing. For the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And the Bible says, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. There's going to come a day when this corruptible, these bodies that have corrupted in the grave, or that have been cremated, or that have died at sea, or however they've died, that this is going to be put back together, that God is going to reassemble these bodies. This corruptible must put on incorruption, and we will be clothed with a heavenly body, a perfect body, like the resurrection body of the Lord Jesus Christ. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Our mortal bodies will become immortal. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? It's not just for people in superhero movies. This mortal must put on immortality. So, things we know. We have an eternal home in heaven. We have an eternal body. And God intends ultimately to raise us from the dead if we pass away, or if we're here when the rapture takes place, to change us immediately, and we will have this eternal body. Things we know. Now, things we desire. Things we desire. Verse 2. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. Paul is saying, in this body we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. And truly, we do groan in this body. I'm sure that Paul groaned quite a bit. Can you imagine as he got older and he was in jail and he was in dungeons, he was going through all these things, shipwrecked, and all these different things. Can you imagine the pain that this man went through? I groan now with aches and pains. And I'm sure it gets worse as I get older, right? Amen. Thank you, Bob. I appreciate that. Amen. For in this we groan. We groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. Sometimes we might think, wow, I wish I had a body like when I was younger. Like last night, Gracie was doing some kind, she was doing ballet or something. My wife's sick in bed and I was watching the kids, and so Gracie was kicking her legs up and she was twirling around and she kept kneeling down and jumping up and kneeling down, jumping up, and I was just sitting there and she said, can you do this? And I said, no. Said, no, I can't do that. If I do that, I said, I'd hurt myself. All right. Sometimes we'd like to have a younger body, but the truth is we're going to have something much better. We're going to have a resurrection body. Our house from heaven. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. This is kind of interesting. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Takes me back to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 9. The Word of God says, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And Genesis 3:21 says, unto Adam and also to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. So just like Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they realized, hey, we're naked. So they tried to make their own clothes, and that didn't work out. And so God made them coats of skins. God provided clothes for them. And that was a picture because he slew an animal. That had never happened. And so that was a picture of Jesus Christ, our sacrifice, being sacrificed for us. And the truth is, we are clothed in his righteousness. That's how we'll stand before God, in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so we don't want to be naked when we stand before God, but we won't be, because we're clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Some people worry about, how will I come before God? You'll come before God in His righteousness, or you won't be able to stand before Him. Verse 4, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. That's a wonderful phrase there, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Romans 8:23 says, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan with ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. When we get saved, God places us into the body of Christ. We are born again as babes in Christ, but we are placed into the family of God with a status as adult sons through the adoption. But the adoption doesn't stop when we get saved. The adoption culminates when our body is changed and brought into this wonderful resurrection body. And so the Bible says, we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption. We're waiting for that day when our body will be changed, to wit, the redemption of our body. God is redeeming everything. He's not just going to save our soul, but He'll save your body too. And that's a good thing. Amen? God doesn't do a partial job. He doesn't do a halfway job. Some people just do a partial job, but God does a complete job. He'll not only save your soul, but He will redeem your body as well. So things we know, we have an eternal home in heaven. Things we desire to live in our eternal home. And now finally, things we believe. Things we believe. Now He that wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Of course, we've all heard of giving somebody earnest money. And basically, you give somebody, it's like when you hire an attorney. If you've ever hired an attorney, you pay a retainer. The retainer is to let the attorney know that you're in earnest of wanting his services. And it's probably going to cost you more money after that. But the truth of the matter is that God has given us His Spirit as earnest. He's saying, look, I've given you my Holy Spirit, and that means I'm going to give you a resurrection body. I'm going to do the whole thing. I'm going to save you. Not only save your soul, not only take you to heaven, but also give you this resurrection body. I'm going to give you complete salvation. Now, He that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given us the earnest of the Spirit. That's our guarantee. Verse 6, therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. These are things we have to believe because we can't see it. We can't see our resurrection body, but we believe it. We walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. You see, Paul said, while we're at home in the body here, we're absent from the Lord, but we would rather be absent from the body and present with the Lord. And that's a great assurance to us. When my mother passed away, I used this verse to preach her funeral so many years ago, but that's a great assurance to us. We are absent from the body, and yet we're present with the Lord. Wherefore, verse 9, we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. Now we're closing now, and as we close, Paul says something very curious here. Look at verse 9. Paul has been talking about the grace of God. He's been talking about the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And now he says, we're confident. He says, we're confident that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And now he says, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. It's kind of strange, isn't it? We're laboring. We're being very diligent. We're working hard. And Paul did work hard, and so should we. That whether present or absent, whether we're here in this body on earth, or whether we're present with the Lord in heaven, we want to be accepted of Him. Now, wait a second. I thought that Paul taught that we didn't get saved by works. Indeed, he does. He says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Verse 10 says, "We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works that God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." God wants us to do good works after we're saved, but we don't get saved by works. So what does He mean, "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him"? And He explains it in the next verse. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." No one appears before the judgment seat of Christ unless they're a believer, unless they're saved. This is a judgment for believers. This is the Bema seat. This is the judgment seat for believers. And we must all, every one of you that's been saved here, must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. All of us. We must appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in the body according to what we have done, whether they be good or bad. God will test the quality of our works to see whether they were of good quality or bad quality. And God's going to hand out rewards when we stand before this judgment seat. And the Bible teaches that some will receive rewards and some will suffer loss. Now again, whether you're saved or lost has to do with what you do with Jesus Christ right now. Whether you trust Him as your Savior or whether you say no to Him. That's whether you're saved or lost. But every saved person will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and God will look at our lives, and He will look at how we served Him, and He will look at our works to see what we have done, whether they be good or bad. And there will be some that will be rewarded and some that will suffer loss. And so, I don't want to suffer loss when I stand at the judgment seat, do you? No. Paul cautioned us not to judge each other, not to judge things before the time. He said, "I don't even judge my own self as far as what he would receive." But the truth of the matter is this is why Paul says, "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him." Paul says, this is why I keep serving Him. This is why I work for Him. This is why I give diligence to serve Him. And this is why you should give diligence to serve God. And this is why I should give diligence to serve God. We must serve God so that if today we were to stand before Him at the judgment seat of Christ, He would say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's what we want as believers. Thou good and faithful servant. And so, things we know, we have an eternal home in heaven. Things we desire to live in our eternal home. Things we believe, to be absent from the body is to be present in our heavenly home with Jesus Christ, but what we do in the body will affect us when we stand before Him in judgment. Let's serve Him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You for these Thy people. I thank You for the work You're doing in this house. I do pray that this year, 2019, could be a great year for Harmony Baptist Church. I pray that we could reach many people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray that we could reach many people overseas and many people in the United States with Thy gospel and even this community. We do pray that You would help us to serve You. We pray that we would give diligence to serve You on a daily basis, that we would not slack, that we would be faithful to attend Your house, that we would be faithful to read our Bibles, that we would be faithful to seek You in prayer, and that we'd be faithful to share the gospel during 2019, and that You would do great things in the life of this church and in our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.